College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children of Eden go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we will be joined by Tennessee head coach Rick Barnes. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also, send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Body Armor Sports Drink, the more natural, better all-around sports drink. Trust me, I've had it. Body Armor Sports Drink has more potassium-packed electrolytes than the competition. It does. Natural flavors as well and sweeteners, and no colors from artificial sources. That's always big. Body Armor Sports Drink provides superior hydration for those who demand better. Visit their website, drinkbodyarmor.com, to learn more. And that is an unbelievable guide for Body Armor, and we hope to be an unbelievable guide for you during the month of March. We do this podcast 52 weeks out of the calendar year, but this week is the last podcast before the brackets come out for the 2018 NCAA tournament. And next week, we are going to have you covered from soup to nuts with a comprehensive bracket breakdown. My main thoughts right now, heading into Selection Sunday, heading into Championship Week, I would be remiss if I did not spend some time on Cincinnati's unbelievable victory at Wichita State on Sunday. The Bearcats answered the bell because a lot of people, including myself, wondered just how good Cincinnati was despite their gaudy record. They had the early win at UCLA. They had the home win over Houston. But for all intents and purposes, Cincinnati hadn't had some of the marquee victories that other teams at the top seed area had in college basketball. But the win against Wichita State was absolutely sensational. And now you have to wonder if Cincinnati can just do similar things in the American Conference tournament if it will wind up on the two line. Now, one of the big questions you're going to hear all week long is, who are the one seeds in the NCAA tournament for 2018? I think Virginia, Xavier, and Villanova are locks to be on the one line, Virginia being the top overall seed. But I'll say this. College basketball, and we've talked about this for about the last month or month and a half, has been dominated this year by parity and the level of separation between teams being as minuscule as we've seen it in quite some time. I think when you look at the fourth number one seed, it's a question as to who wants it. It could have been Michigan State if the Spartans were to win the Big Ten tournament and get another shot at Purdue. They lost to Michigan in the semifinals. Michigan's playing some unbelievable basketball right now. Credit to them. Also, Kansas is in position to be a one seed in the NCAA tournament, but Kansas is coming off a lopsided loss to Oklahoma State, who Kansas may have to see again in the Big 12 tournament if Oklahoma State beats Oklahoma. The team to watch in terms of potential number one seeds in the NCAA tournament is Duke. Duke is the team that, if it won the ACC tournament, could be in a situation where it could leapfrog Kansas for the fourth spot on the one line. It would take, obviously, a number of big wins for Duke to do that in Brooklyn, but we saw it last year, and I think a similar thing could happen. If Kansas were to lose early and if Duke were to win the ACC tournament, I could see the Blue Devils winding up on the one line in the NCAA tournament. And that is one of the many questions we are going to have during championship week. It'll be interesting to see what transpires during a week that will be complete bonkers. And if we're going to sum up the college basketball season, the only thing we know for sure is that nothing's for sure. Rick Barnes has done an unbelievable job at Tennessee. Volunteers picked 13th in the SEC preseason poll. Finish tied atop the top spot with Auburn, won a share of the SEC regular season title. And Tennessee's head coach Rick Barnes joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. Before we chat with Tennessee's Rick Barnes, I'd love to tell you more about Body Armor sports drink. Body Armor delivers premium, better-for-you hydration to provide today's athletes and anyone who is active, trust me, the best in sports nutrition and hydration. It's big if you're working out. Body Armor sports drink contains potassium-packed electrolytes from coconut water, which is tremendous, natural flavors if you're plain, and sweeteners, and no colors from artificial sources. Seriously. So ditch your outdated sports drink. Make the switch to Body Armor now, the choice of today's athletes like guys like James Harden, Kristaps Porzingis, Richard Sherman, and Mike Trout, as well as the world's number one golfer, Dustin Johnson. That's some good company, people. And for those counting calories, check out Body Armor Light Sports Drinks with all the electrolytes. Only 20 calories per serving, ladies and gentlemen. Only 3 grams of sugar. It naturally tastes great. Me, personally, I'm a big fan of the Body Armor. Go to the Fruit Punch. That's my favorite. I'll drink it whether I'm on air or at the gym. It works both ways. As you can tell, I drank one before the show. Visit their website, drinkbodyarmor.com, to learn more. Tennessee has been one of the surprise teams of this college basketball season. The Vols clinched a share of the SEC regular season title on Saturday, and the head coach of Tennessee is Rick Barnes. He joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And, Coach, you've had a lot of great moments in your head coaching career. Where did Saturday rank in terms of the proudest that you've had as a basketball coach?
Well, it would be right up there, I can tell you, because this group of guys, I just thank God for the blessing of having a chance to coach these guys. And the crowd, just the Vol Nation, man, this building was electric. And to have the building totally sold out for us on the last day of the regular season, I think tells you how this university and this town has embraced this group of guys, because I think they just truly love their blue-collar kind of team attitude, and so it really was a special day.
Well, it's also special anytime you're picked 13th in a 14-team league and you go on to win a share of the regular season title. What was your initial reaction in the preseason when your team was picked 13th?
Well, I've been here 3 years. We've either been picked, I think, 13th twice and 14th once. And, you know, John, I've never putting stock into that, because I think those predictions are, you know, by the media that are based on what you have coming back and then recruiting. I think recruiting plays a big part in it. And so we didn't make that a big deal. Like, we didn't make a T-shirt up like 13 out of 14, anything like that. Maybe I should have, to be honest with you, but I didn't. But what we did as much as anything was we tried to talk about our work ethic, what we had to do. We knew the year before. You go back to a year ago, this 3 weeks ago, we were in the tournament, and Robert Hubbs got hurt, and we didn't finish well. And we went back and put up stats where we need to improve in a couple of different areas, and it all got down to 3 or 4 possessions here or there. We got to have 3 more stops. We've got to get, you know, 4 more rebounds. We've got to move up in these numbers, and that's what we talked about. How can we improve and get ourselves over the top instead of losing games by 6 or 7 points? How can we win them? And that's where we put our emphasis and what we talked about. And our guys have worked hard. They've done a good job, and they believe in each other, and it's turned into the type of season that we've had.
Well, and another thing I think that's really interesting is coaches always have moments to themselves when they know they have a really good team, whether it's after a practice or it's after a game. When did Rick Barnes know that the Tennessee team that he has this year was really good and capable of doing some special things?
2 years ago in Maui, we were young. We were one of the youngest teams in the country. We started basically mostly freshmen, sophomores, and with the exception of Robert Hubbs, really. And we played Wisconsin. We played to really a possession game. We played Oregon to a possession game. Had a chance to win at North Carolina. Played Gonzaga. And we knew then that we had talent. Now, can we get them to get better? And then we go this year to the Bahamas, and we won down there. We beat Purdue in a great basketball game, one of the best games we've been in all year, where we had to do something that we hadn't done the year before, and it was, well, we were down in the last, 3 minutes, came back, able to tie the game and win it in overtime. And so we knew we had it. We just knew, could we get our guys over the hump? Because we knew we had it a year ago until Robert Hubbs got hurt, but even when he went down, we felt like we could still win, but we weren't mature enough to do it. And so we just kept coaching them, and we knew we had depth, and that's something that we didn't have a year ago. We knew we could survive a tough injury, even though you don't want anybody to get hurt. And that's why we had decided as a coaching staff we were going to play a lot of players. We're going to do a lot of different things. And so if one guy went down, we were going to hope somebody else could be able to step up. But I think no question, when we left the Bahamas, we knew that we had the ability to play with anybody.
Tennessee head coach Rick Barnes joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Vols have won a share of the SEC regular season title. Will be one of the top two seeds at the SEC tournament this week in St. Louis. Now, you had mentioned that your town has fallen in love with the blue-collar approach of this basketball team. What has it been like for you coaching guys with a chip on their shoulder with something to prove versus coaching four- and five-star guys like you did at Texas?
Well, I can tell you this. When I was at Texas, those four- and five-star guys that you're talking about that were really four- and five-star guys, they had a bigger chip on their shoulder than people would think. I mean, I can tell you those guys wanted to prove not only they wanted to win championships, they wanted to be the best at what they did. But we've built this program, John, the same way we tried to build Texas, with the guys like, you know, the Roy L. Ivies, the Brandon Moutons, the Brian Boddickers, and I could go on and on. And then when you add a guy like, you know, the five-star guys that everybody talks about, so we've laid the same foundation. And we've had guys that people would call overachievers at Texas, and we tried to do the same thing here. And since we've been here, we've gone after the best players in the country, and we didn't get them at Texas the first couple of years, and then we finally broke through, and we're hoping to do the same thing here, but we will not get away from recruiting the guys that we as a staff feel are the kind of guys that can really function in our culture here. We want guys that love to be in the gym. We want guys that want to be good at all around and not just basketball. We want guys that are workers, and so we haven't, again, we haven't come in here with a different attitude about it, and we've just tried to really use the same blueprint.
What are the biggest differences between being the head coach at Texas and being the head coach at Tennessee?
Well, again, I've been blessed. God's blessed me with opportunities everywhere I've been. But, you know, I've been at Texas a long time and loved every minute of it with Delos Dodds and you know, Mac Brown, Augie Garrido, and the players. I mean, the players is what made it special, and it's the same thing here. And then being here, you know, there's a coming here. I mean, I've met some people. I've met friends here outside of basketball that I'm telling you will be my friends until the day I die. But the difference is, from a basketball standpoint, you know, we've averaged eighth in the country in attendance. You know, we have a second largest on-campus arena in the country. On the weekends, we've averaged over 19,000 fans, and during the week, we've been around 14, but a couple times in the 16s. And the way that this town and this university has really embraced us, and that hasn't just been this year now. You go back and look, Tennessee has always been ranked in the top 20 nationally in basketball through pretty much the history of this program. But, again, I'm just both universities at Texas and Tennessee, I'm just thankful that God gave me the opportunity to be at both of them.
You know, and the one thing I think that's interesting, Coach, is when you look at, obviously, what you did at Texas, 16 NCAA tournaments in 17 years. I'm curious, though, how did being in the SEC and coaching at Tennessee re-energize you after an era where you accomplished so much?
Well, I love what we do here. You know, I still love coaching basketball a lot. And, you know, the timing was such that, you know, when the situation happened at Texas and Tennessee was, you know, looking for a coach, and I'd known Dave Hart. He actually interviewed me for my very first head coaching position back in, I think, 1985 when he was an associate AD at East Carolina. Dave picked me up at the airport, and I stayed with he and his wife, Pam. And then, you know, when this situation came, he was the AD here, and we talked and really agreed to everything, really pretty much on the phone before anything happened. And again, I just look at it as a blessing from God, the way it all, the time he fell in place. But it was never, I never needed re-energized, and that was never anything of it. You know, I love my players at Texas that we had, and I love the time there, and I still have really many fond friends. One of my dear friends came over for the game, Don Evans, Saturday, flew in from Midland, Texas, and like that meant the world to me. And that's more about Texas, and it's, even though we're coaches and that's what we do, it's those other relationships you have that are really more dear to you than people can even possibly understand.
Well, you mentioned about how you didn't, you know, need to be re-energized. You know, I have some moles in Knoxville who told me that your office is actually in the gym. How does that work as a high major head coach to literally have a desk and a chair at the gym?
Well, you know, it all started where I didn't go to the office a lot because at Texas, the basketball office is in the north end zone at DK Royal Stadium. And our practice facility is over, and, you know, getting from the practice facility park and getting up to your office, as much as we're in and out all day long, was just difficult to do. So over the last number of years, I've been used to being at our practice facility, and that's really what it is now. I stay at our practice facility because, one, that's where the players come in and out all day long, and that's where you can really have more hands-on contact with them. But it all started at my time at Texas, and then when I got here, I have an office here that's much easier to get to, but I just prefer being at the practice facility.
You've coached in a lot of different leagues. You have roots in a lot of different areas of the country. Where does this year's SEC rank among the best leagues that Rick Barnes has ever coached in?
Well, I tell you, I don't know. I mean, this has been a good one. I mean, when you go back and you think about the SEC when we've been here 3 years and what's happened a year ago, I mentioned that schedule we played coming out of Maui, and I talked all year how good the league was a year ago, and no one was buying it. And then we get in and we have a great postseason run with our teams that made it to the tournament. And this year coming back, because they're terrific coaches in the league, experienced coaches in the league, and the league recruited really, really well, and some teams like us was bringing back pretty much basically the entire team that had played a lot of minutes. And from the beginning, I'm telling you, there has been no easy games, and there aren't any games. And really and truly, there's a lot of teams, and I would say most all of them can go to St. Louis knowing that, hey, they're good enough to win a conference tournament and get an NCAA bid if they haven't gotten one right now. And we know there's some teams that are already in the tournament that know they can go there and do well and improve their seeding. But from a league from top to bottom, I really believe this is the best league from, you know, with 14 teams that I've ever been in.
How many teams do you think that are going to be in the NCAA tournament in from the SEC have the ability to go to a place like you did at Texas in 2003 and get to a Final Four?
Well, I think once you get into the NCAA tournament, I think anything can happen. I think that's got to be the goal, the mission every year. You want to be one of those 68 teams that are there, because we watch it every year when someone can catch lightning in a bottle and can make a run. And, you know, you start thinking that right off the bat, you know, the top teams are going to be there every year. We know now that doesn't happen a lot. And not as much as everybody thinks it probably can. So, you know, we know the twos is beat a 15. There will be a day when a one is going to beat a 16. And so the mission is to get there. And when you're there, you're like 68 teams and say, you know what, we've got six games, and it really starts with it. You know, on one weekend, every game's a championship game this time of year, because if you don't win it, you're done. And but let's go one game at a time, and let's just see how far we can ride this thing, and we get on the right wave. There's a lot of teams, and I think there's a lot of teams in this league that could ride it deep into a Final Four experience.
Well, and I think, you know, one of the things that makes your team so intriguing about having that type of a run is you've got a rock in Grant Williams. To me, he's one of the more under-the-radar players nationally. What does he have that you have seen in some of the other great players that you coached at Texas, at Providence, at other stops?
Well, one, he can get a lot better. I'm going to say that out front. He's improved a lot. He's got himself in shape. You know, he wasn't as highly recruited as people talk know because, one, he wasn't in shape. And and they look at his height. But he does have a 6'11"-plus reach, which people probably don't know. And he and Admiral Schofield both have a reach like that. But Grant has won. He's worked hard at getting himself in shape. He's willing to come in the gym and put time in. And he's still young. He's still immature in a lot of ways. But what he has done is he's a good teammate, and he does want to win. Winning, I would tell you, probably means more to him than winning individual awards, because he does. He's always talked about that when he walked on camps. He hopes that he wanted to hang a banner. He wanted to be a part of a team that could hang a banner. He was put in a situation that he had to play a lot as a freshman. He was able to hide behind Robert Hubbs, being the go-to guy for a year ago. And then again, I think it was a great experience for him last year when Robert Hubbs went down, where he became the guy that he had the game plan for, and he didn't handle it very well. And this year he's been the guy that has had many double teams and has had the pressure of being on edge and producing for his team. And he's learned that it's a lot tougher than you might think, but he'll get better at it as he continues to understand he's got to continue to get in elite shape. But he is a guy that he works, he's put his time in, and I think he respects his work ethic.
You know, Coach Barnes, you've been in college basketball your whole life, and the game has changed in, I think, the last 3 to 5 years, just in terms of how everybody would want instant gratification, and obviously the addition of social media has changed the athlete today. What is it like for you? Obviously, you're cognizant of everything that's going on in that area in terms of the narcissism and everything, to coach a team, and I've said this several times this year, that is unselfish as any team there is in the sport. Because for me, the thing that stands out watching your team is you don't take low percentage shots, because the only thing that anybody is ever concerned with is getting the highest possible opportunity.
Well, what we don't do a lot, we don't ask our guys to do a lot off the dribble themselves. Now, we've got guys that the other night, Lamonte Turner went off the dribble, made a big three. We gave the ball to Admiral Schofield when Grant had fouled out of the game and said, hey, you got to go make a play. Normally, we don't play like that. We are going to play, you know, pass and catch and shoot it. And so we're a team that's what we believe we're best at. But I think that when you look at our team, I think a lot goes back to our staff. I think I've got the best staff in the country, and I'm not just talking my three assistants that I have with me. I'm talking about the entire staff. There's a lot poured into these guys when we're talking about not just basketball player, but, you know, as a person, you know, how can we be better every day? And so there's a lot of people that have had a lot to do with this. And so that's when I think of a program, that's what it's about. We truly have a family atmosphere here. And is it perfect? No. But are we holding each other accountable? We do that at a very high level. And I've got people that hold me accountable. And, but I think our staff really pours a lot of time into our players and are trying to always stay out in front, having to beat on what might be going on with them. And so a lot of what's happening here, I mean, we've got better players than people think, one thing. Because I'm telling you, we all know, and you know this being around, we wouldn't be here if we didn't have talented players. But we've got more than that going with guys that have bought into each other. And the fact is, it's been a fun ride because of from a coach and staff standpoint, watching how these guys have grown up, and they're still growing, and we've got to still grow because we've got these guys back next year and pretty much the majority of them for the next couple years, and so we still can get better.
No question about it, but to get better this time of year, it's obviously got to be a result of the same mindset you've had throughout this whole process. But from now until the end of the season, what's the biggest thing that has to happen for Tennessee to have a chance to win 3-4 games in the NCAA tournament? What has to happen over the next couple of weeks?
Well, I use the word maturity and focus because I do think that's the key. And because this time of year, you know, all lights are bright on college basketball. There's a lot of noise going on. You know, people wanting to jump on the bandwagon because it's college basketball, it's March Madness, and you want your players to enjoy it. You do, but they have to understand, one, again, every game is a championship game because it's you either win now or it's done. And can you stay focused and in tune with what you have to do to get yourself ready to play? And I do think our guys have learned to really – my assistant coaches, Rob Lanier, Mike Schwartz, and Desmond Oliver, have done just an unbelievable job with scouting reports. They're terrific. And I do feel that about a month – I'd say a little bit over a month ago, I felt our guys had really started to, you know, you wonder how much they can absorb in these guys and use in games. I do feel like our team has gotten so much better in the last month, understanding scout report and details in terms of how important every little detail can be. And these guys don't overload them with too much, but that's what it will be. With all the things going on around us, can we get back in the gym starting tomorrow, because we gave them 2 days off so they could get their legs back under them and give it another day to get some of the bumps and bruises that everybody has this time of year. Now can we get back and get focused and not turn what should be an hour and 15 practice into an hour and a half, 45, whatever, because we're not focused. So I think that's the maturity and focus right now is what you're wanting from your team.
Well, Coach, I've covered your teams for a long time. It's really been enjoyable to see this team evolve all the way from, obviously, your first year until now. Best of luck in the SEC tournament in St. Louis and, of course, in the NCAA tournament. And look forward to staying in touch along the way.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you having me.
We'd like to thank Tennessee head coach Rick Barnes for joining us on the College USA podcast with John Rothstein. Be sure to leave comments and rate our show on iTunes. Let us know what you think of our talk with Coach Barnes. It was an unbelievable season. Also remember, when shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. And now let's get to our social media portion of the College USA podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John. J-O-N. Our first question comes from Matthew Mahoney. It's John. Is Marquette right now in the NCAA tournament? Matt, I got to be honest with you. Right now, I have Marquette outside my bracket. Still an opportunity, though, for the Golden Eagles to move the needle at the Big East tournament this week at Madison Square Garden. Our next question comes from George Carpenter, and it's why won't Nebraska get into the NCAA tournament after finishing fourth in the Big Ten? It's real simple. Conference records have absolutely no bearing on where a team is able to get to the NCAA tournament. Conference records mean absolutely nothing. It's your overall body of work. Right now, the only win that Nebraska has that moved the needle, a home triumph early over Michigan. Our next question is going to come from Nate, and it's John. What is your thoughts on the Ivy League tournament? Look, Penn and Harvard have been the two best teams in this league all year long. Penn has the luxury of playing in the Palestra. Harvard, I talked to Tommy Amaker on Sunday. He told me it doesn't look good for Bryce Aiken to return for the Ivy League tournament. He's been out since February with a knee injury. I would lean towards Penn in this game, but Tommy Amaker has come up big in big situations during February and March the last couple of years. You got to remember, a couple of times the last couple of years, Harvard looked like it was out of the Ivy race, but wound up making the NCAA tournament. And now time for our Body Armor sports drink bubble team, and I'm going to take the UCLA Bruins. I think UCLA played its way into the NCAA tournament with Saturday night's win at USC. If the selection committee is going to use the thought process that it's who you beat and where you beat them, look at UCLA's wins. The Bruins have swept USC. It's won at Arizona as well, UCLA did, and it also won a neutral site game over Kentucky. I have the Bruins in my bracket. Now, let's get to some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, no vacations for Holiday, and we're going back to UCLA. Aaron Holiday is the first UCLA player since Ed O'Bannon in 1995 to average 20 or more points in a season. He's leading the Pac-12 in scoring. Nugget number two, a little bit of history repeating. Duke's trajectory feels similar to 2015. We all know what happened that year. Blue Devils only giving up 58 points per game in its last seven, 1-6 of its last seven. Nugget number three, seeds are meaningless at all levels in college basketball. It seems that way in mid-major conference tournaments. The top seeds in the MAC, Atlantic Sun, Big South, and Horizon League did not advance to the NCAA tournament. That's saying something. Nugget number four, storm warning. St. John's could face Xavier in the Big East tournament if it beats Georgetown in its first game. The Red Storm have always played Xavier tight for the most part under Chris Mullen. This season could have won twice, including a game at Carnesecca Arena where they had the ball just down a possession late. Nugget number five, nine lives. The Big 12 still has a chance to get nine teams in the NCAA tournament. Now, how could this happen? I have eight Big 12 teams slated for the field right now. If Oklahoma State can beat Oklahoma and then beat Kansas, I'd have a hard time not having the Cowboys in the field. Kudos to Mike Boynton, who has done an unbelievable job in his first season in Stillwater. We'd like to thank Tennessee head coach Rick Barnes for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel, with our comprehensive bracket breakdown. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.